بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هذه سبيلي عدو إلى الله على بصيرة أنا ومن اتبعني صدق الله العظيم Respected ulama, brothers and elders, all praise due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and durood salutation be upon his most beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, it is the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite wisdom and mercy and kindness and compassion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with iman. It is only the choice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He guides whom He wants, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this great wealth of iman. With this iman, or having this iman, or the bounty of iman, comes the responsibility that each and every one of us has to look after this iman. The place of this iman is the heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept this machine of the heart the place wherein this iman is kept. So effort has to be made on this iman. And according to the effort will be the level of iman. The higher the iman, the higher the drive for amal, the higher for the drive to follow the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The lower the iman, the weaker the iman, the lower the drive to fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the manner shown to us by Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there needs to be a constant effort on iman. If we find ourselves without any drive to do a'mal, it is solely because of the weakness of iman. If we find an exertion, a drive, a motivation towards iman, towards amal, then this means that the iman is strong. This means that the iman is boiling within our hearts. So there needs to be a constant effort on this iman. And ulama say that there are four efforts on this iman. One is that we have to talk about stories of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. And such incidents of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped them and assist them against the norm. In the normal way that a person will receive the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, against these norms, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa alayhi salam, when he came to the ocean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed him to strike the ocean with his asa, with his staff. And when he struck the ocean, 12 avenues opened up for him through which the tribes of the Bani Israel could go through. So against the norm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assisted them and assisted Musa alayhi salam. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up an avenue for him that they could travel through the ocean. And for Fir'aun, who was behind them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he went in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closed the ocean for him. Ibrahim alayhi salam, against the norm, the fire which burns, against the norm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cooled the fire for him. Musa alayhi salam, when Bani Israel wanted water, against the norm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed him to strike the rock and the 12 fountains or 12 springs gushed off from a rock. Against the norm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assisted him. Against the norm, they would wake up in the morning and they would find manna wa salwa, food from Jannah for them, without any effort, without any profession, without any business. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assisted Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Yunus alayhi salam, it is not possible for a person to live without oxygen. Yunus alayhi salam was swallowed by the big fish, by the whale. And he lived within the whale for few days, for many days. It is not possible for a human being to live in a stomach of a whale. Against the norm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assisted him. Against the norm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept him alive. And then the whale spat him out. So these incidents of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam we have to continuously talk about. We have to mention it to our children. We have to mention it to our brothers and sisters, among ourselves, till we realize that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power was there for Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam and is there for us. So the first thing we have to speak about incidents of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, specifically where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, against the norm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assisted them and helped them. Then stories of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, wherein again, against the norm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assisted them. When they came to the Persian Gulf and they wanted to enter or cross over into Bahrain, and the enemies, they took their boats and their ships away from them. So there were no means for them to cross over the ocean and enter into Bahrain. So the Amir of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum instructed Sahaba radiallahu anhum to take the name of Allah and to sing the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by Subhanallah Alhamdulillah and cross over the ocean. And their means of conveyance, horse or camel, they began riding it over the ocean until they reached Bahrain. And the hooves of the animals did not even get wet. If I remember correctly, a Sahabi sang a poem and he said, for Musa alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to change the norm and open up the ocean for him. But for the ummah of Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not change the course of nature. He left the ocean as is, but for Sahaba radiallahu anhum, he made them cross over the water. So we have to speak about the incidents and stories of Sahaba radiallahu anhum that increase our iman, increase the spirit of our iman, increase our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, increase the iman that is within our hearts. When a person comes to us and he wants to accept Islam, what do we tell him? We tell him about the 7 articles of faith, and the first of which is iman. We tell him about iman, to believe in one Allah. In other words, we are telling him and we are telling ourselves that the first effort you need to make as a believer is the effort on iman. So first, the incidents of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Second, the incidents of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Again, when Sahaba radiallahu anhum wanted to cross over into Persia, Iran and Iraq, the very same thing happened. And by their conviction in the greatness and power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they crossed over the ocean and they entered into Persia. And when the people saw this, when the Persians saw this, they said, nay, these are not human beings. These are jinnat. It is not possible for human beings to accomplish this. So against the norm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped them. And the more we discuss this and speak about this, the more our iman will increase. Thirdly, we should speak, see now Ramadan is coming. And the object of fasting and the object of Ramadan is لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. And who are the muttaqeen? Who are the people that are conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? أَلَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. Those who believe in the unseen. The hereafter we have not seen. Pul Sirat, the bridge of Sirat we have not seen. Jannat and Jahannam we have not seen. We have to speak about these things. We have to speak about the hereafter. Jannah, Jahannam, Pul Sirat, life in the grave, the questioning in the grave. Until the yaqeen and conviction of these things enter into our heart, our iman will increase. We have to speak about those things, the actions that we are doing, the ibadah we are doing, the salah, the zakat, the hajj, the umrah, the sadaqah, all these things that we are doing, the rewards we will get thereof. We know the virtues of everything else, what our technology can do for us. But the virtues of all these ibadah that we are doing, if we know the virtue thereof, it will enhance and increase the value of our ibadah. And likewise, the punishment thereof. If we do not do these ibadah, If I don't give sadaqah when it is an opportunity for me to give sadaqah, what did I miss out on? If I don't perform my salah, what is the punishment thereof? If it is time for me to go for hajj and I have the means for hajj, and if I don't go for hajj, what is the punishment and what is the warning that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gave thereof? So we have to speak about the hereafter. We have to speak about the things that we cannot see. Jannah, Jahannam, Qul Sirat, Qabar, Akhirah, Hashar, etc. The fourth thing is that the creation we see around us, the sun, the moon, the stars, the sky, the grass, the plants, the trees, all this we have to speak about and say, these are the creation of Allah. It is through the qudra and might of Allah that Allah has created all of this. This iman, where is this iman? It is in our hearts. The channels to the heart is the eye, the tongue, the ear and the mind. We have to not only think that these are the creations of Allah, we have to see these things that these are the creation of Allah. We have to listen that these are the creation of Allah. We have to speak that these are the creation of Allah. And when we do this, the conviction and yaqeen will come into our hearts that it is Allah that is doing, it is Allah that done, and Allah that will do. Then when we want the help of Allah, we will see the help of Allah. Even the technology before us, our cell phones, the internet, computer, laptop, the cars, the trucks, all these things are the creation of Allah. All these things did not come into existence without the permission and the help of Allah. Everything that is around us, the clothes that we wear, the food that we eat, the houses we stay in, the children that we have, the human beings around us, all this is the creation of Allah given to us by the permission of Allah. So we have to speak about all these things till we realize the greatness of Allah, till we understand the power of Allah. And when we realize the power of Allah, the value of this iman, then we will realize the value of one another. We will realize the value of a human being with iman and without iman. When we look at one another and we realize that this man, no matter what his color, creed, clothing, car he drives, house he stays in, no matter how he is, disheveled or well-dressed, this person next to me, in front of me, behind me, he has iman. And when we realize the value of iman, we will realize the value of this human being. And what is the value of iman? A person with iman, the value of a mustard seed. Go to the spice shop and ask them for one mustard seed. And when they present the mustard seed to you, then ask them how much for this mustard seed. They will think either you are crazy or you are mocking them. You cannot give a price for one mustard seed. Yes, you can give a price for for 500 grams, half a kilogram, 5 kilograms, 500 kilograms of mustard seed. But one mustard seed, you cannot give the value of one mustard seed. Yet, iman, the value of this mustard seed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give that human being, that believer, a jannah 10 times the size of this world. For something which is insignificant for us, for something which we will mock at, you cannot ask me the price of one mustard seed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will value the iman, the like thereof, to 10 times the size of this earth. A jannah 10 times the size of this earth. Now when we look at a human being, knowing that this human being has iman, and indeed we don't know the amount of iman that this person has until he comes on the day of Qiyamah. And Allah puts a price to his iman. Then we will realize, if Allah gives this person who has iman the value of a mustard seed, a jannah 10 times the size of this world, And that believer will see, on, he will come to, he will enter into his Jannah. And he will look at his Jannah and he will say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is all this for me? It will be told to him that all this is for you. Till where your eye can see, it is for you. Then he will realize the iman equal to a mustard seed, how valuable it is. Nonetheless, when we meet this human being, when we look at this human being and we realize his value, then we will realize how I should treat him. Ulama have written that in the ahadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned that the best of human being, the best of believer, the best man, after that, what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned had nothing to do with ibadah, had nothing to do with worship. It had to do with akhlaq. It had to do with one's relationship with fellow man. For example, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best from amongst you is the best, is the one that is best to his family, to his ahl. The best from amongst you is the one that is best to his family. The best from amongst you is the one that is best to his wives. The best companion in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that is best to his fellow companions. If you are good to your friends, if you are good to your fellow human beings, Allah, you will be the best in the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The best neighbor is the one that is best to his neighbor. The best of human being is the one who pays his dues. Nothing to do with ibadah. Nothing to do with worship. Only to do with akhlaq. Only to do with the manner we treat one another. Nabi SAW mentioned, خَيْرُ النَّاسِ أَنْفَعَوْهُمْ لِلنَّاسِ. The best of men, أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, the best of human being is the one that benefits human being the most. Nothing to do with ibadah. Nothing to do with how much salah a person reads. How many hajj he has made. How much umrah he has made. How much zakat and charity he gives. The best of human being is the one that is best to his fellow human being. Nabi SAW mentioned in a hadith, a beautiful hadith. And Nabi SAW says that a person who has under him a disbeliever, or who lives with a disbeliever, and what he does, he oppresses this disbeliever. He eats, he usurps the rights of this disbeliever. He takes his wealth or takes something from him without his permission, or while this disbeliever is not happy about it. He's not happy that this Muslim has taken something from me. Or he places this disbeliever under such, he puts him in a difficult position. He burdens him with something, with some work, and this disbeliever is unpleased with it. So he usurps his wealth. He usurps his rights. He burdens him. He takes something from him while this believer, this non-Muslim, this kafir, is not happy with him. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says in a hadith that I, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, will be the lawyer of the disbeliever against this believer. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam will stand on the non-Muslim side, and he will be the lawyer for the non-Muslim against the very Muslim. So when we realize the value of this iman, we will realize the value of fellow human beings. You will realize the value of believers and non-believers. You will realize the value of creation. To that extent, and the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the effect that even if there is a snake, an insect or an animal that will harm you, then you should kill it in such a manner that does not give that animal some difficulty. That does not give that snake some difficulty. You kill it in a quick and effective manner. That even the snake doesn't go through some difficulty in the manner in which you kill that snake. So respected friends and brothers, again, to work on our iman, to speak about stories of Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped them against the norm. To speak of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helped them against the norm. To speak about those things that we cannot see, about the hereafter, about the grave. To speak about these things till the conviction of these things come into our heart. To look and at the creation around us and remind ourselves that this is the creation of Allah. This is the power of Allah. This is the qudra of Allah. And then we will realize this iman and the value of people with iman. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to make effort on our iman and grant us the ability to realize the value of one another, especially those with iman. Wa akhiru da'wan alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.